Republicans on a state building commission have rejected the governor's $4 billion capital projects plan. It's Thursday, March 27th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Mallory Chang. Coming up, one Southeast Wisconsin village is at odds over political yard signs. And the results of the April 1st election will decide whether Wisconsin's voter ID law will be enshrined into the state constitution. Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson will have more on how some of the claims for and against the law have held up. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust. Conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Republicans on a state building commission have rejected the Democratic governor's $4 billion budget for capital projects. Among other projects, the plan involves $500 million to reorganize the Department of Corrections. That includes renovating some prisons and eventually shutting down the maximum security Green Bay Correctional Institution. But Senate President Mary Felskowski accused Governor Tony Evers of failing to include Republicans in the planning process.
It's just very disappointing all the way around, because DOC reform and changes are pertinent to this state, especially knowing what's going on at a lot of our facilities and what our guards are suffering with.
The Building Commission ended up deadlocking on Evers' proposal, with Felskowski and other Republicans voting against it. The plan now heads to Wisconsin's Republican-controlled Budget Committee without the commission's recommendation. An executive order from President Donald Trump would ban non-citizens from voting in federal elections. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, Wisconsin may be excluded from many of its requirements.
The order says voters must present proof of U.S. citizenship. Election officials would have to update a certain voter registration form and purge non-compliant voters from the rolls. But Wisconsin voting experts say a lot of these requirements just don't apply to Wisconsin. It's one of six states that is exempt from the National Voter Registration Act. That's the federal policy most at play in the executive order. Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Don Millis, a Republican, said he thinks the order points to the need to have a consistent way to prove citizenship.
On the one hand, you don't want to make it impossible or really difficult for people who can't prove they're citizens to vote. On the other hand, you want to maintain the integrity of elections.
Only U.S. citizens can vote in Wisconsin. Experts say non-citizen voting is vanishingly rare. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Waukesha County leads the state in early voting, with less than a week to go before Wisconsin's Supreme Court election. All told, nearly 408,000 people have already cast mail or early in-person absentee ballots. That's 52% more than at the same time leading up to the state's last court election. Notably, in-person early voting is up around 95% across the state. As of Tuesday, Waukesha County reported more early voters than any other county, though Milwaukee and Dane counties aren't far behind. Interim Waukesha City Clerk Linda Gordeau says she's been getting more than 100 absentee requests per day, and 77% have been returned.
So the fact that they're coming back in a really quick, efficient manner makes you feel better about all the time and energy that goes into getting them out the door.
Early voting continues through Sunday. Mailed absentee ballots will be accepted through Election Day. In recent weeks, rules about political yard signs got residents of one Wisconsin village passionately debating, or at least, as Nick Rommel reports, passionately posting online.
The village of Slinger in Washington County has a rule that says political signs must be taken down after an election. It's complaint-based, so when someone sent the village a list of houses with long-standing Trump signs, it enforced the rule and ordered people to take their signs down. When the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, a conservative law firm, pointed out that similar rules have been found unconstitutional, the village rescinded the orders. But its violation letters had gone viral online. That's when Village President Scott Stortz encouraged residents to share their thoughts at a Village board meeting.
And out of the thousands and thousands and thousands of comments, only one person showed up to that meeting.
He says it was disappointing to see so many people criticize the Village online but not participate in starting to change the ordinance. Nick Rommel, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin's April 1st election will determine who will be the next state Supreme Court justice and the next state superintendent. But voters will also be deciding whether to enshrine Wisconsin's voter ID law into the state constitution. Coming up, Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson will have more on this. Stay with us.
This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
What people see is the prices they're paying, right, or the level of credit card debt they have. And so,
but there's also a practical need to move toward a carbon neutrality, especially on the in the Lake Superior in the North Country.
And if you come together and deal with the issues, you have a greater amount of collective strength.
Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
A pivotal race for state Supreme Court is getting all the attention, but Tuesday's election also features a referendum on whether to enshrine Wisconsin's voter ID law in the state constitution. Debate on both sides of the issue has hit familiar points. WPR's Sean Johnson has this report on how some of the claims have held up over nearly a decade of elections.
If you listen to debate on voter ID in the Wisconsin State Assembly, you might hear a case like this on the right.
We're going to make sure that everyone who's entitled to a ballot gets one and that we know who the people are that are getting a ballot.
Or like this on the left.
It is no way to encourage democracy. It's pure politics, plain and simple.
Republicans stress that voter ID is about securing elections.
Wisconsinites want it to be easy to vote and hard to cheat.
Democrats say it's about manipulating elections.
It is a transparent effort to preserve political power for one party.
That was former Representatives Jeff Stone and Donna Seidel, and current Representatives William Penterman and Greta Neubauer. While they all hit familiar themes, their debates happened 14 years apart. Republicans passed a voter ID law in 2011. The 2025 debate is about whether to make it a constitutional amendment and more or less permanent. At the core of the Republican case, then and now, is that voter ID prevents fraud. Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney says the law is important because it enhances confidence in the election process.
One of the things they teach us in law school is sometimes the appearance of impropriety can be worse than actual impropriety.
But despite 9 years worth of elections under voter ID, Barry Burden at the University of Wisconsin Elections Research Center says proof that it prevents fraud is basically non-existent.
It doesn't prohibit a person from voting who might not live at their residence. That's a voter registration issue. It doesn't deter someone who's has a criminal record or is under 18 or not a citizen. Those are caught in other kinds of ways.
Burden says the type of crime voter ID stops is voter impersonation. According to data maintained by the state's court system, those types of charges have been brought twice in the last 6 years. They've led to just a single conviction. One of the biggest arguments against voter ID is that it reduces turnout. In the 2016 election, the first with voter ID, turnout did drop, and some research suggested up to 10% of eligible voters who did not cast ballots were stymied by the law. But Burden says other factors were also at play.
Turnout rates in Wisconsin go up and down for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes the candidates are more appealing, sometimes they're less appealing.
In 2020, turnout was back up, and last year, Wisconsin's turnout led the nation. That's not to say all voters were affected equally by the changes. Anita Johnson handles voter outreach and education in Milwaukee for the group Souls to the Polls.
Black and brown people, people with disabilities, the senior citizens, they're all different types of groups that are suffering because of this photo ID or this voter ID law.
The law created a system for free IDs, and since 2011, more than 1.4 million have been issued. But Johnson says not every voter knows about the option, and without help, some people assume they can't vote. One thing Democrats and Republicans have always agreed on is that the courts would get involved in voter ID. Indeed, two state courts and a federal court blocked the law. A conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and a federal appeals court eventually reinstated it. Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has a liberal majority, and Republicans like Representative Dave Murphy say voter ID could again be vulnerable. That's where the amendment comes in.
Having voter ID in the Constitution will keep it safe from activist courts.
If the amendment fails, voter ID would still remain in effect unless a future legislature or court decides to change that. If it passes, this long-running debate could effectively be over, with voter ID the law of the land in Wisconsin for decades to come. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And a quick check in weather before we let you go. There's some patchy light rain in the morning that's lingering in the southeast areas. Otherwise, across the state, the rest of the day will be partly sunny and mild. High temperatures will be mostly in the 50s across all of Wisconsin today. That's today's podcast. Thank you for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Mallory Chang. Our producers today were myself and Kyla Calvert-Mason. We'll be back again tomorrow in your feeds. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.